The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 14th.
13th.
It's 13th?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. On this 13th? All right. Yeah. All right, on this 13th day of July, 2023. And the squeaking you heard was from none other than Lock and Load Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
And tonight, our producer is the very, very capable Style.
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, Style. And the other voice you heard, not the squeaker, but the unsqueaker. And that is Deacon Randy.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
All right, there you go. Boy, now I got to say right out of the chute, we won't be taking calls tonight because we have such a volume of information to get out, and it's going to be tight getting it out in 2 hours. So that means we have to do lightning rounds, and they're here. And my co-host tonight, if they don't do lightning rounds... I'll probably hurt them. So we'll see. But anyhow, we got to get started. Let's pick it up where we left off. Now, we've been talking about what happens to believers and non-believers when they die. What happens to their bodies? There's a lot of questions, a lot of misinformation. We talked about that. Some people think they get recycled and we come back as reincarnated as all kinds of strange things, right? Some as people, others as... animals and so on and so forth. And others think that, you know, if we're bad people, then we become demons. We, you know, that once our bodies are gone, we become demons. And you know, and all kinds of other things. Others believe that you simply cease to exist, okay? But none of those are true. Now, we're going to take a look at what God's Word, the Bible, has to say. And we're going to pick it up where we left off now. Here we were talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb, but now we're going to pick it up in Revelation 19, verse 11, starting with verse 11. And Randy, if you'll read from verse 11 through verse 19.
You got it. Okay, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowl that flew in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, and that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sitteth on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat upon the horse, and against his army.
All right, so going back to verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, what he saw when heaven opened, he saw a dimension. He saw millions and millions of people riding white horses across millions of miles of space, but he saw a door opened, and he saw here the Lord of Lords and a King of Kings on a white horse. And his eyes were a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. Now, here, sometimes people wonder, how do you get many crowns on your head? It's not that you have a lot of crowns, it's that you have a crown, and upon those crowns that they would have, there would be other smaller crowns within that crown for all of the wonderful, wonderful, mighty attributes of God, huh?
That's right.
That they represent. And he goes and he says, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, here, vesture that was dipped into blood, it's got two completely different applications, doesn't it? Okay. First of all, the first blood refers to his own. He shed his blood, right? Mm-hmm. But second is the enemies, okay, of God. And he says here, and the armies which were in heaven followed him with white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, those armies in heaven were four categories of saints. Do you know what the four categories are?
But are we talking about angels here?
Angels first.
So we got angels. So do we want to get into cherubim, seraphim?
No. You got angels. You got the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and now here you've got tribulation saints.
Okay.
Now, when we were speaking of this earlier over in Revelation chapter 4, when we saw that open up, and we were speaking of the saints, at that time, there was no tribulation saints, okay? So now, here, the tribulation period is over, and this is at the very end, and here he's coming back, and he's coming back with the army of all of his saints. And so here, and the armies were in heaven, followed him on white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness, the wrath of Almighty God. Now, that sharp sword is what?
The word of God?
Yes. The word. It's God's word, his word.
Yes.
There's nothing that's more powerful than that himself. And so he's referring to that weapon that he uses when he comes back. Now, he's coming back with all of his saints, and we're an army, okay? Now, what do armies do?
Fight.
They fight and they conquer.
Well, they break things and kill people, right?
Yes. Right. That's right.
Uh-huh.
And he hath written on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls, fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat upon them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beasts that the king of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him, and he set upon the horse and against his army. So we're seeing here now that God's armies, the four categories of saints, they have glorified bodies. Now, again, we're going to have quite an advantage. This will happen, okay? And this may happen a lot sooner than people are ready for. But we're going to have glorified bodies, and these glorified bodies will be impervious to pain. There'll be no curse, no death. These bodies will live forever, and they can't die. They won't be able to die. But then in verses 20 through 21, we see the bodies of the lost, of the unsaved people, okay?
Yes.
And the beast was taken with him and the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which he deceived them and had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now, that sword is basically, he goes back with his army, and he simply says, go get them, okay? Now, the army does the fighting. And so here, as we see this, when those that were cast in lake of fire, it's a continuous, see, they're going to be resurrected into the death. It's a continuous process of dying. And, you know, you've seen people that are on fire, what a horrible thing it is, okay? There's going to be torment. It's going to be constant torment. And there's going to be different degrees of torment.
Sure.
Now, there's some extremely wicked people in this world today. Those that sacrifice the children, those that are the pedophiles out there that are extremely wicked. And we see this growing more and more. For years and years, we've seen where, and we reported, it's all the way back in the 70s, how they had babies in cages, that they would have these women that would come, they would breed them, they would pay them to get pregnant, and they would have a baby, and I believe that's what they do at the University of Pittsburgh today, okay?
That's right, with the mice.
Yeah, well, no, with human babies.
No, but I'm saying they're kind of mixing them with, blending them in with the mice.
Well, they pay women to give babies, right, to carry them to full term, and then they experiment them alive.
Alive, that's right.
With nothing for pain. It's wicked, it's evil, it's as evil as you can get. And there's a special hot place in hell for these people.
Yes.
And they're going to deserve every bit of that torment they get. They will deserve it, okay? And now you've got this with what we're talking about. This is why it's so important to vote yes here in Ohio on issue one, because we've got to be able to amend the Constitution that these people can't get what they call their woman's reproductive rights. It is a bill from hell, from the pit of hell, and it would cause more and more human suffering, and we've had enough human suffering, haven't we?
Yes.
Yes, we
you do. Folks out there listening to me, you better listen. You need to really get out and pay and tell everyone that you know here in Ohio to vote yes on issue one August 8th. Vote yes on issue one August 8th. Now, I want to go now over to Zechariah chapter 14. And in Zechariah chapter 14, starting with verse 3 through 8.
3 through 8?
Yep.
Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against the nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove towards the north, and half of it towards the south. And ye verses 3?
No, through 8.
Through 8, okay. And you shall flee to the valleys of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, you shall flee, like as he fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the king of my God shall come and call the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day, not night, but it shall come to pass that, excuse me, at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, half of them towards the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be.
All right, so going back to verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against the nations as he fought in the day of battle. The day of battle is referred to as when he took Israel out of Egypt.
Out of Egypt.
Yes.
And now you notice, what did he do when he came to the Red Sea?
He
parted the Red Sea to the north and to the south.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God is an immutable God. Now, what happened there, if you go back to the flood, if you go back to the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then if you come back to when he fought on the day of battle, and then here again, what's going to be in the future, they're all a type of the coming of the rapture of the church. They're all a type of the rapture of the church. And we talked about that, how everything is seen to apply. But I'm not going to get all the way into that right now because of time. But and so here now, we see him. He comes to Jerusalem on the east in the Mount of Olives. Now, if you've ever been to the Mount of Olives, it's a hard climb because it goes almost straight up. And here, Israel are coming out of Jerusalem. Now, he's already, all the armies of the world have come into, they're attacking Israel, and they just attacked Jerusalem's a huge city. Jerusalem's a huge city. And two-thirds will perish. One-third of Israel will survive. And that would be, that third would be called the sons of Abraham, and they will recognize Christ as their Savior. In fact, if we go back to chapter 13 and read verses
13 in which Revelation?
No. Zechariah. You're in Zechariah, and read verses 8 and 9. Zechariah 13, 8 and 9.
Eight and nine, okay. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
And so one-third of professing Israel are going to be, again, seen not just as a seed, but as the sons of Abraham, and they will receive Christ. And then read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 14.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, the women ravished, half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city.
Okay, so here's what you've got. The armies of the world, we're not talking as in the days of Pharaoh with chariots and horsemen. Now we're talking about Black Hawk helicopters, because the United States is going to be in this battle, probably leading it, okay? And so you're talking high-tech, very high-tech. And so here, as we see this, they come in, and the people are coming out of Jerusalem, and they're going right towards the Mount of Olives. And the Lord is standing there, and he splits the Mount of Olives. They go from the north to the south. They go in. Now, again, this is like a type, and they go up into the mountain, okay? like a type of the rapture of the church. And then he says, and it shall come to pass, well, let me go, verse 5, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach you to Israel. You shall flee like you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. Now, it's interesting because that earthquake was such a huge earthquake that here now they're still talking about it 400 years later. Yeah. And here he goes on to say, King of Judah, and the Lord may, my God, shall come and all the saints with him. Okay. So now here, as the armies of the world come to the Mount of Olives, they run smack dab into the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and all of his armies. And now there's going to be a horrific battle taking place. But we're going to be, we have quite an advantage because the object is to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. And we'll have glorified bodies so we can't die. And so all of their high technology is not going to help them out much, is it?
No, it's not.
And so here, and so he goes on to say, and it shall come pass in that day that light shall not be clear nor dark. It's going to be something very different.
Yeah.
And it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, one day one, nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, summer and winter. Now, if you really want to find out about that, if you read over in Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 12, he talks about when the Lord builds his temple, when the Lord builds his temple, from underneath his throne comes a river, and that river breaks up into four other rivers, and it waters the entire earth. At first it will water Jerusalem, but then it will water the entire earth. The water's coming there. Read just a couple, if you're there, read a couple of the first four verses.
Of Ezekiel 47.
Yeah.
And afterwards brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, and from the forefront of the house stood towards the east. And the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. He brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankle. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters to the loins.
Okay, there you go. We're going to stop right there, and we are going to, well, you know what? Maybe this would be a good time to play that clip, but she calls, tell her that we'll get her right up to the clip, so.
The Sound of Freedom was completed 5 years ago, but Disney fought them in the courts to keep it from being released. Hollywood employs several convicted pedophiles, and mostly at Disney and Nickelodeon, who specialize in children's programming and have even rehired pedophiles after they've served light sentences for raping child actors. Hollywood has been abusing children since its inception, including child actors of the 1930s, such as Shirley Temple, Mickey Rooney, and Judy Garland, who wrote that she was constantly molested behind the scenes by powerful men, including MGM co-founder Louis B. Mayer. And nothing has stopped Hollywood from continuing this horrific abuse. It has been known for decades that governments have systemically abused children. Beginning in the 1960s, the German government began placing thousands of foster children into the homes of single pedophiles and continued doing it up until the 1990s. Thousands of Catholic priests have been accused of raping children, and no justice has ever come of it. Jeffrey Epstein was targeting individuals and recording them raping children as a form of blackmail so that powerful entities could control them. Epstein has disappeared, and so has his little black book. Many have claimed that Hugh Hefner was doing the same thing for the CIA that Epstein was doing. In 1976, Hefner's Playboy magazine published erotic nude pictures of a 10-year-old girl, and nobody seemed to care. The effects on these children can often be fatal, whether it's from blunt trauma or suicide, and those who survive most often struggle with it for their entire life.
To me, sexual abuse, it kills a child. I think it kills the spirit of a child. I think it kills normalcy in a child. So I just have spent a great deal of my life, walking around really as a dead person in a sense, because I almost feel like I was murdered.
Child abuse has been used as a form of trauma-based mind control because it often forces the child to disassociate, which has been known to create multiple personalities. MKUltra whistleblower Kathy O'Brien came from a family of multi-generational child abuse that sold her to the U.S. government.
I developed a compartment in my brain, a little area behind amnesic barriers that was actually the neuron pathway shutting down in my brain in order to compartmentalize the memory of abuse so that the rest of my mind could function normally as though nothing had happened.
My father's sexual abuse expanded into child pornography. And he was sending this child pornography of me through the U.S. mails. And he was caught. The pornography was confiscated by a criminal faction of our government. The local politician approached my father and told him that he would receive immunity from prosecution if he would sell me into the CIA's MKUltra Project Monarch.
Some families practice incest and pedophilia to gain power and to maintain it. Inbred Jacob Rothschild explains it here while reading a quote from his inbred relative, James Rothschild.
In our family, we've always tried to keep love in the family. In this sense, it was more or less understood since childhood that children would never think of marrying outside the family, so that our fortune would never leave it. You couldn't write that today.
Our entire system is profiting from child slavery. About $10 billion a year in the U.S. alone. And our entire government seems to be involved. Congress has paid millions of our tax dollars to cover up their sex abuse crimes. Thousands of children are being trafficked across our southern border. And now it's become trendy to castrate children and turn them into a so-called transgender. And if we, the people, don't do something about this, then the blossoming surveillance state will have a solution. Don't be surprised if our children are soon monitored 24/7 under the guise of keeping them safe because we have failed to do so. While we cannot expect to rid the earth of all evil, something obviously needs to be done. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, I wanted to say that, JFK wanted to get rid of the CIA, and they killed him. Ronald Reagan wanted to get rid of the CIA. They tried to kill him. President Trump wants to eliminate the CIA, okay? And if they get their way, they'll get him too, okay? But here, this is pedophilia. The entire Democratic Party is ripe with pedophilia. I mean, it's all of Hollywood is ripe with pedophilia. It's a horrible, horrible. What did the Lord Jesus say? You'd be better off if you had never been born. You'd be better off to have a millstone which weighed 4,000 pounds hung around your neck and drowned in the ocean than to do what they've done to the children. So, folks, let me tell you something. This bill that they want to pass, this is why it is so important. I want to say it again. That we, on August 8th, that you vote yes on issue one. We've got to make it a 60% vote to be able for them to get their legislation from hell, their amendment from hell on the ballot. That amendment from hell, where they call it the Women's Reproductive Rights Act, it's right from the pit of hell. The black money, the dark money all of that, it's coming from George Soros, out-of-state money here in Ohio. It is evil to the bone. And you folks really need to stand up. And this is why I'm going to be preaching, Lord's willing, this Sunday. on being conformed and apathy and ignorance, okay? I'm going to be preaching on that because the God's Word, the Bible, has a lot to say about that. And so, folks, you better, it's time for the church to get up off its dead behind and on its dying feet and run to this battle. You know, the church has got to quit dishonoring God with lack of courage and faith. You've got to start running to the battle, not justifying, well, somebody else will do it, or I've done something good enough this week. No, you got to get out there. And if you're not registered to vote, I'm ashamed of you. So this is for real. All right, now after all that, we're going to go to Nancy Skurr. And Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you, but boy, you're a little loud, low. Can we?
Oh, okay, let me turn it down, okay?
No, you're not loud, you're low. You've got to turn it up.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Okay.
All righty.
Better?
Yep.
Okay.
So you are here, and you're going to be talking about, tell us about this critical race theory, what you're doing. That, again, that's pure communist doctrine. And what is Nancy Skurr up to? Tell the folks out there what we're doing.
Okay, well, let me tell you what I'm doing. I've spent the last 2 years researching it, and as a result, I have found that our Constitution is our way to save our children. And what I have done is I have gone ahead, and I've talked to the Board of Education now 3 times, and in this last, on the May 9th address, I went ahead, provided documentation of CRT in our schools, okay? And I provided all the rule of laws that should be dictating education, regardless of state, because it's from the U.S. Constitution that has dictated a conditional standard, as you might think. And the standard is that in education, they must go ahead and acknowledge our constitutional rights, especially the 14th Amendment, which provides equal protection under the law. And this is the whole crux of the whole thing. Critical race theory is in direct conflict with our own Constitution. So how can it be that we're seeing it in our school system? And it's under that pretext that I am fighting against this. What I have done in my last meeting on June 13th, I went ahead and submitted a letter of intent to give to the board members that are not showing any interest or concern in restoring the rule of law in our schools. So I filed, as of July 6th, I filed complaints against 18 state board members. So, and that was on Thursday of last week. This week, the governor's office, because what I did was to file the complaint, I went and sent one to the attorney general's office, and the other one I sent to the governor's office because I was told that he would be fast tracking any complaints whatsoever regarding the school board. So I said, fine. So I sent it to both of them. So it's going to be kind of interesting because what I am doing or this complaint system hasn't been used in near an eternity because most of us were law-abiding people. We are in a situation where they are violating the rule of law, and I'm going to hold them accountable. And that was the reason why I submitted a complaint with regard to 18 board members. But what's cool about this complaint that I want to let you know, you don't need an attorney. You know what? Anybody who wants to file a complaint against a school board member or any elected official, I can show you how to do it. For the local school districts, I have the actual address that handles that information, if that's something that you would be interested in. But anyways, let's get back to what's going on. So the governor's office called me, and I talked to him about, I didn't get to talk to the governor, but I talked to someone else who conveys the information to the governor. And I spent a half an hour going over all the rule of laws that the Board of Education has broken. And I show where they are truly, that they are culpable of doing this intentionally. And because of that, I want them removed. Now, there is one board member I did not file a complaint against. She is probably the most knowledgeable board member out of the whole 19 board members combined. She's the only one who reads anything. Everybody else just kind of wing it. That's the impression I got. I don't want to misspeak because somebody probably say, oh, she said this and this, and we don't read anything. But anyway, she is probably the one that I think would be an asset to the Ohio Board of Education. So I'm not going to bother her in the least, okay? But I talked to the guy, and supposedly the guy that's affiliated with the governor, he's supposed to get back to me. And he redirected me to House Bill 298. Now, House Bill 298 is a bill that it looks like they're waiting to fill out. I don't know how else to put it. The only thing that they have listed on House Bill 298 is that they're going to reduce the school board members from 19 to 11, and they're going to be all elected, but this is not going to go into effect. They're going to allow the current board members that were just elected to go ahead and fulfill their term.
How long are those terms for? I think they're 4 years, aren't they?
You know what? That was one of the things I never bothered to learn. You know, I have researched from all different ways, but I think that's about 4 years. It's either 2 or 4 years. I know they just had one in 2022, so I would think 2 to 4 years. I don't know. It makes no difference to me, because if I'm filing a complaint with them, the whole idea of filing a complaint is to go ahead and have disciplinary measures applied, because they're not following the rule of law.
Well,
and if
okay.
They're not going to follow.
There's been many people that have filed complaints like you, and you're right. And I know you've gone looking the rule, and you've really put a lot into this. But unless you get enough people calling and supporting what you're supporting, nothing will happen. And it was the governor, I think, would appoint out of those eight. I think the governor appointed 8 out of the 19, okay? But you have to get enough people. You have to put fire to their feet. They could care less. The Communist Party members, they're trained to go into positions like school boards. This is where they want to take with their indoctrination into the public school system. I've been fighting this for 50 years. And so what you have to do is you've got to really put the heat on. You've got to get some state legislators behind you on this.
Right.
And
so we're working on that. But right now, our focus is to get those signatures up. We have a site called Act for America. And if you go and click on the site, they have 2 different campaigns, national and state. And then you go ahead and look for Ohio. You could scroll it or let it advance on its own. There is a search button when you first open it. So if you want to do that, you know, you could use that when you first open the app. But you need to sign the petition. It takes about 3 minutes. And if you sign the petition, we will have enough signatures. We're reaching out to large groups to come and participate. Because what we're using to go ahead and change this is in Ohio is the petition itself. And that's why it's important. It takes 3 minutes of your time. You're going to look back and you're going to say, boy, I am glad that I signed that petition, because if we don't stop it now, we're going to have a heck of a problem stopping it later.
Right. ActForAmerica.org. So they go to ActForAmerica.org and they look for State of Ohio and Stop Critical Race Theory. Now,
right.
They're telling you, they will tell you, and they'll lie to you. They will tell you that they're not promoting that. That's a lie. They are promoting it. They're just calling it by other names, okay? We know that, okay? And so, so folks, you, and this is why it's good to see parents are starting to awaken to this, to what is happening. You know, I noticed something about these people. The one group of people that more than any other group that send their children to private schools or homeschooling or public school teachers, okay?
That's right.
They do not want what they're putting on other kids on, you know, to happen to their own. They don't want it. They want something better for their own. And that goes especially for school board members. That's especially for the school board members. So, folks, you've got to go up on that internet. You've got to go to actforamerica.org, look for the state of Ohio. Well, now they've got also complaints that are national, so you folks in all the other states out there, look for your own state. Because, again, this is communism. This is Joe Biden communism to the bone. Pure communism, what they want to do. It's right from the pit hole. See, communism and Satanism is one and the same. They just got two different names, that's all. They're the same thing. And so you've got to get that done. For people who want more information, or if someone wanted to talk to you, how would they do that? Nancy? Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. You know what? If they want to get in touch with me, I have a Substack. You can. I don't know if you're familiar. It's a way of writing, doing professional, well, not professional writing, but you could publish your post. And what I did is I used Substack to go ahead and put all my evidence that I accumulated over 2 years. And so it's in my Substack. So there are places where you could go ahead and contact me in that Substack if you so desire. And all you do is you put in Substack, Substack, and they have a search button. And if you put in the search button, just J-U-S-T, NANS, N-A-N-S, news, it will take you to my site. And I have all my publications there. And in fact, I'm using this site to keep everybody apprised of my timeline through registering the complaint with the governor's office and the attorney general's office. So I'm going to keep track of it and utilize it, because what we have found, whether you realize it or not, the things protecting our children right now is from our U.S. Constitution, Congress, and the U.S. Supreme Court. These are all federal laws, which means this applies to every state, not just the state of Ohio. Ohio is going to be the template for every state in the nation. That's what we're doing with Act for America.
We're going to be doing that in more ways than one, for sure. All right.
Yeah, I need you to get on board. That's all I know. Sign the petition. Finish the entire campaign. It'll be in your, in the best interest of your children. And by doing that, I will be able, with the rest of the people that have been working on fighting against critical race theory, we're going to redress this with the legislation, with the legislators in Columbus. So it's really important. The bigger the number, the more power you're giving us to accomplish this. Okay? All I'm asking you, spend 3 minutes and help me save your children.
All right, very good. Well, I want to thank you for being here. Keep me abreast of how things are going. And
I will, Pastor.
We're in this with you.
Okay, that's what it takes. This is not my battle anymore. It's our battle.
You're not kidding.
To rise above it, yeah. And we want to do it while we still have a constitution. And it's looking pretty thin, so we need to start doing it, not only in Ohio, but around the country. We've got to save our kids.
Well, you're not kidding. All right, thanks, Nats. I got to go. We'll move on, but God bless. And folks out there, listen. Here, you know, God's word, the Bible is really clear. God has raised us up for this time. I'm a message I'm trying to get across to the people out there that, you know, our life, the Bible describes our lifetime as a vapor that appears before an instant and is gone. That means we don't have a whole lot of time to place up crowns in heaven. With the word of God teaches that our rewards will be directly considered on what we've done in these bodies, right?
Yes,
by what we've done
right.
in these bodies. Mm-hmm. And so, Lord, you folks out there, what I'm trying to tell you, you don't have a whole lot of time to do this. Eternity is for a long time. And if you set back now and if you sit back and you don't run to this battle, you don't fight like Christian soldiers with your eyes upon the cross, then you'll have all of eternity to wish you had. On the other hand, if you do that, if you run to this battle and you fight like Christian soldiers with your eyes upon the cross, you'll have all of eternity to be glad that you did. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
That's what we're trying to get across. So you got to get her done, folks. Also here, Pure Evil, the latest Disney production, is a cartoon about a girl who inherits a ritualistic blood-drinking cult from her father. Now, Disney, folks, you've heard of Pedophile Land. Disneyland nowadays is called Pedophile Land. It's gotten worse and worse. It's right from the pit of hell. And here you have Free From Released, the first trailer for the new adult animated comedy Praise Pite, which follows on how modern women will manage their deceased father's cult. How one modern woman will do. Now, the two-minute first look teases New York, and it girl Petra Aka Pete grappling with her life turning upside down when she must move from her big city life to a place called New Utopia. Well, look, Disney has lost. Did you know in the last couple of years, their value has been decreased by one half.
Sure.
One half. They've lost billions of dollars, but being to them woke and promoting evil from the pit of hell is more important than even their money.
That's right.
And yes. And they'll continue to do this. Do not go to Disneyland. That's pedophile land. Do not go there, folks. If you care for your children at all, don't go.
Prior to COVID, I did some security for the Playhouse here. And at that time, I don't know if it's still true now, but they still got to be up there. Disney was the number one venue for child abduction. It was the number one venue for that.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. It no doubt about it. Disney is, you know, we've been talking about this for years, so stay as far away from Disney as you can stay.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All righty. You got an article there. Let's go. We have sure, rapid.
Well, here, you were talking about that here. Move over trial by jury. Now it's trial by bureaucrat. Justice in America calls for a trial by jury of one peers. But there's a new idea, trial by bureaucrat, and the U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to review whether that is permissible. And what it says here is that there's a case of Jarchese versus the Security Exchange Commission. Jarchese is a case that contests the legitimacy and constitutionality of administrative courts staffed with agency employees. Joe Marino, owner of Sun Valley Orchards, is fighting against the devastating penalties imposed by the Department of Labor that unconstitutionally access prosecutor, judge, and jury. Too often federal agencies impose stiff fines and penalties in agency courts where agency employees serves as prosecutors, judge, and jury. Now, with the Supreme Court poised to consider these issues, small businesses may have a fighting chance. It says agency courts arose in the 70s. Their rise to impose fines and take people's property expanded rapidly, but the Supreme Court has never really addressed whether all that should happen instead in a real court. Agency judges constitutionally can do things like process claims for Social Security benefits, but if a federal court wants to fine you tens of thousands of dollars, it should have to prove that case in a real court with a real judge and a real jury. That's that article.
Amen. And then look here, yeah. From the Gateway Pundit here. Now, the FBI took to Twitter and asked Americans to report any criminal activity to them through their tips and their website. Now, here's what they had it worded this way. Justice is better than revenge. You may not be Superman, but you can help the FBI protect the country. If you have information about a federal crime, speak out now, and they give you a 1-800 number to call or visit. Well, then here, the website they give you. But this request really backfired on the FBI because they became overwhelmed with reports of their own crimes. As the Gateway Pundit reported, these crimes include when the FBI spied on President Trump based on phony information. That was a crime, a federal crime they committed. They lied to the American people about the spying. They lied to Congress, too. They committed, Christopher Wray lied under oath. They hid the Hunter laptop. Here, they lied about the laptop. They lied to the American public during Trump's impeachment, knowing Trump did nothing wrong. They sent operatives to the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Well, the former police chief has admitted there was all kinds of FBI, and Christopher Wray lied about that under oath, okay, on January 6th. They infiltrated the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. They raided homes of their political oppositions. They raided the opposition candidates' homes on junk charges. They ignored Hunter Biden's hundreds and hundreds of crimes. They set up poor white men in Michigan. They ignored the Biden family treasonous deals. And they lied about investigating the criminal acts in 2020 election. So here, when they put up that hotline, they didn't like what they got, the results. There you go.
That's unreal.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Lisa.
Okay, this is about the FBI, too. Gateway Pundit, FBI Director Chris Wray on Wednesday testified before the House Judiciary Committee, and the hearing oversight of the FBI will examine the politicization of the nation's preeminent law enforcement agency under the direction of FBI Director Wray and Attorney General Garland. Director Wray refused to answer questions about the January 6th pipe bombs. And over 2 years ago, January 5th, 2021, a suspect planted pipe bombs near the Washington, D.C. RNC and DNC headquarters the night before January 6th. But the culprit was caught on video but never was caught by the FBI, the so-called greatest intelligence service in the world.
Amazing. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're coming up to a break.
I mean, you're talking about a loose cannon.
Yes.
Goodness. All right, we're coming up to a break. How much time do I have there? Okay, before the break. All right. Folks, Truth and Light Town Hall. Be prepared to defeat Ohio's pro-abortion ballot initiative. And that's what we were talking about. This three presenters, three sessions, call to action, and a short question and answer. Now, topic one, the fall of Roe. Now what? Now, topic two, understanding the Ohio pro-death ballot initiative. That's what we've been talking about. And three, the reality of abortion. These sessions will educate you and equip you and your family and friends and co-workers to defend the pre-born children and family values. Free of charge, free will offering will be received. And this is going to be Thursday, July 27th, 1 week from today, from 6 to 7:30 at the Chardon Christian Fellowship at 401 South Hamden Street in Chardon, Ohio. And we're coming up to a break, and my cousin is the pastor there. And Lord's willing, I'm planning on being there too. So come on out and see both of us. Be right back after this with more.
Fight the fight. Take the stand. Light the light. Feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.